Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
How you doing?
Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
We're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built.
It's so hard
to lie to you.
Glad that you are with me here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. An open phone line for you, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number as we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank studios.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.
We lost an icon yesterday. You heard Alicia Keys and Boyz II Men talk about how hard it is to say goodbye to yesterday. It's no question about it that we lost an icon yesterday in Kobe Bryant. You know, the first word that comes to mind is winner when I think of Kobe Bryant, someone who lived his life and took his career seriously. You think of the term ruthless aggression. I use it from time to time on the show. And when you think of Kobe Bryant, there's no question you think of ruthless aggression. Nobody could tell him that he wasn't going to be great. And he was definitely great. I was on with Jeff Dickerson yesterday. We started the coverage of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and others that perished in that helicopter crash that killed 9 people. And that was a very difficult show to get through because of the gravity of knowing that 9 people died. And one of them was an icon, a great player like Kobe Bryant. I have not slept well since that show yesterday. And I thought, okay, we did the show yesterday between 3 and 6, and we'll be able to talk about this on the show tonight. But it has been very difficult for me because when you think about all-time greats, right? And you can place Kobe Bryant wherever you want to place Kobe Bryant amongst the all-time greats. But you cannot deny his unwavering appetite to lead and produce on a regular basis when he played. His story is complicated in some ways, his life. But the thing that I could take solace in is the fact is that he was great at what he did as a basketball player and clearly great at being a dad. Great at being able to take care of his kids and his family in his post-career. The head scratcher, the thing that I can't seem to get past and probably will never get past is why is it that some of the greats always die young? In the same way that we lost Prince, the same way that we lost Michael, the same way that we lost Nipsey and Whitney and Bowie and Jimmy and Lemmy and Kurt Cobain and John Lennon and Biggie and Janis and Amy Winehouse, in sports, how we lost Ben Wilson and Len Bias and Payne Stewart and Roberto Clemente because of a plane crash and Thurman Munson because of the same and Daryl Kyle. Why does this happen? Why does it happen? It's just the circle of life. We understand. But it's just something where you have an attachment and you're used to seeing something and then it just goes away just like that. And that's how fleeting life can be. We are in disbelief when an all-time great dies young. Kobe, one word, one name, just like the other ones I mentioned in sports and entertainment. You know the name when you see it. You've never known anyone in your neighborhood named Kobe until Kobe Bryant came onto the sports landscape. You never knew anyone named Kobe. But it just shows you the unique player and personality that he was. We talk about Kobe Bryant right here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app with Jonathan Hood. The ebb and flow of his career was interesting because when he came onto the scene, I saw him on that Slam magazine cover in 1996, and he was with so many upstarts names that we would know as household names like Stephon Marbury, names like Marcus Camby, names like Chicago's own Antoine Walker, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Steve Nash, and Kerry Kittles, also Ray Allen, on that Slam magazine cover. I have this magazine somewhere in a trunk in my home because I was watching basketball at an early age and watching and really being able to capture some quotes from players that would not say things to Sports Illustrated, other periodicals, but they would say it to Slam magazine because it was cool. It was different. And so I collected those magazines, and that's how I was able to have a relationship with Scoop Jackson. And one of those players that was iconic, that we didn't know at the time in 96, but we come to find out that was great, was Kobe Bryant on that same cover of all of those great players. The Shaq-Kobe dynamic will always be interesting because Shaquille O'Neal will be the first to tell you that more so than Magic and Kareem, or more so than Pippen and Jordan, that for sure that Shaq and Kobe were the most dominant 1-2 punch in the history of the game. They'll always have that conversation. They'll always have that belief because during that era, it was hard to stop a big guy and to stop a guard like Kobe Bryant. Yesterday, we were able to talk to those that covered Kobe Bryant, that knew Kobe Bryant, on the show, and we're going to bring some of that to you here on Under the Hood tonight. We start with Dave McMiniman. Dave McMiniman covers the Los Angeles Lakers for ESPN LA and ESPN.com. Dave McMiniman has a very interesting viewpoint when it comes to Kobe's career, because he's not just a reporter. He's someone who saw Kobe in a big time way in high school and growing up in the league. Some thoughts from Dave Miniman just yesterday.
I don't know how to do this with you guys. I mean, I'm trying. I was called by an editor. You know, we have to confirm the news, reach out to people close to him, try to piece together an obituary, go on live SportsCenter, and try to talk about a guy who, you know, wasn't just someone who I covered day in, day out for 6 years. I grew up in the Philly suburbs. I was in eighth grade at Radnor High School, and he was a senior at Lower Merion High School. We have rival teams. I don't know if Kobe Bryant doesn't exist, I don't know if my entire life is not completely different. You know, I became enamored by the sport, by seeing him play. I don't know. It just what a wild sequence of events that's led up to this moment. Last night we're in Philadelphia, his hometown, talking to LeBron James about passing him on the all-time scoring list, and LeBron went on a soliloquy that lasted almost 5 minutes when he was asked the first question, and just spoke glowingly about this guy, what he meant to him, what he meant to the sport of basketball. And we have barriers we're supposed to have being a reporter covering an athlete, but you know, he was a guy I looked up to, and then he got to know my name, and then he got to, you know, tell me some stories he didn't tell other people. And then the first time I ever did a sit down interview on SportsCenter was because we were supposed to have a one-on-one interview, and Kobe said, no, how about we do it on camera? I saw him this summer, and, you know, rather than me interview him, you know, we just caught up, and then he tapped me on the chest, and he said, you know, I'm proud of you. Keep it going. I don't know. It's just a lot going on right now.
Well, Dave, go back to the days of high school during that time. How big was the name Kobe Bryant as he was coming through high school and targeting the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, at first it was, okay, this is the guy, you know, his dad played for the Sixers. His dad had a funny name, Jelly Bean, didn't do much in the league. Kobe's beating up guys like me in his high school league, in the Central League, you know, wasn't like real a lot of D1 talent, certainly not NBA talent in the suburban Philadelphia league. So there's a lot of naysayers, but John Lucas was the head coach of the Sixers at the time, and He invited Kobe out to some practices, and Kobe was not backing down against guys like Vernon Maxwell and Dana Barros. That was on that Sixers team, and you know, listen, I was a sports obsessed kid and listened to a lot of sports talk radio back then. And the debate was, okay, is he going to be able to make it or not? You know, what's this kid doing going into the NBA? You know, he's not even as good as Donnie Carr, who was a Philadelphia kid who was going to play college ball at LaSalle. And it was, you know, shouldn't he go to college like everybody else? You know, this is, again, 96. You had Garnett come out in 95, but, you know, the wave of preps to pro players being the norm hadn't begun yet. And if anything, it was, okay, if there's a big man, you could see it, but not a guard. There's so many skills a guard has to learn. But, you know, it didn't take long for him to prove everybody wrong.
Dave, can you put in the words what Kobe meant to the Lakers organization?
I mean, he was an extension of excellence. And, you know, after Magic retired and, you know, under wild circumstances, devastating circumstances, you know, who knows where the Lakers go from there. But Jerry West, being the wonderful executive that he is, you know, made the New Jersey Nets get cold feet when they wanted to draft him. Made sure he went to Charlotte and orchestrated the trade, sending Vlade Divac out and wanted to bring him in. You know, Jerry West famously said it was the best draft workout he ever had for anybody, not just a high school kid, anybody ever. and you bring him in and, you know, the Shaq trade happens shortly thereafter, and here we go. You know, Kobe was not just an excellent basketball player, but he was as marketable as they come. And he cared about the Lakers brand. He played all 20 seasons with the Lakers. It wasn't always perfect. You know, there was the famous "I'll play on Pluto" trade rant, but there was also the doubling down late in his career and really getting behind the Buss family after Dr. Jerry Buss died and letting Jeannie know that, you know, he has her back. And then when LeBron came, you know, him and LeBron, they were competitors, and, you know, they won two Olympic gold medals together, but for the most part, they didn't have a glowing relationship. But he buried the hatchet when LeBron came to L.A. It was bigger than him. It was bigger than LeBron. It was about the Lakers. And he couldn't have been a better ambassador for the team, for the franchise, when he came to games. I mean, guys, I was just writing a month ago about him sitting courtside with his daughter at a Lakers game. His daughter was there to see Trae Young. He was there to see LeBron. So it's really sad.
Thoughts there from Dave McMenamin from ESPN, Laker reporter, more than just a Laker reporter, someone who had a close relationship with Kobe Bryant, covering him and back in their high school days in Philly. So that says a lot for the thoughts from Dave McMenamin. Let's open the phone line, Sean, at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our phone number. If you have any thoughts about Kobe Bryant, I shouldn't have to have a topic for this, but I think that you know what's been going on here and how difficult it has been for many across the sports landscape to see an icon perish with his daughter and others that are on that plane, that helicopter. I want to get your thoughts and your memories of Kobe Bryant as a player. Well, did you ever see him play in person? I'm wondering if you've seen him play in person or a memorable game on television. What stands out most when you think about Kobe Bryant, the player? I'd love to get your thoughts on that as we go back and forth and share our memories about Kobe Bryant as a player. Love to get your reaction. I talk a ton of Bulls and NBA on this show, so I know that we've got NBA listeners on our program, as always. So 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hit me up on Twitter as well, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood, as far as your memories of Kobe Bryant as a player. When did you ever see him in person in Los Angeles, in Chicago, whatever arena around the country? What do you remember most about Kobe as a player? We'll get your thoughts on that. Also, Kobe wasn't always going to be a Laker. As a matter of fact, he told me several places that he was interested in at one point while he is in the NBA. We'll get to that and your phone calls next right here on UTH.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
67 points, a new career high, and four away from Elgin Baylor's Laker record. For three again, yes!
Well, they're 70.
Holy. 70 points for Kobe. One away from a Laker record. This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81 point to this crowd for number 8, Kobe Bryant.
Some of the great highlights of Kobe Bryant as a player for the Los Angeles Lakers. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number as we celebrate the life of Kobe Bryant. As I mentioned to you before, doing the coverage an hour after he passes away yesterday on ESPN 1000 was as difficult a task that I've ever had in my career, because we're not just talking about just someone. We're obviously any time that someone perishes, especially the way that happened in Calabasas, California, it's always difficult to watch that on the news and read about that. But then when you are seeing what has happened to an all-time great in Kobe Bryant and so young, we look at some of the greats in sports and entertainment. It just seems to happen too often to those that are so young. And Kobe Bryant was just a terrific player. I recall talking to Kobe twice in my career. One time was at the United Center talking to him, and just very direct and someone that would look you in the eye and just give you his best answer. You could tell, as he has recounted many times, that he learned a lot from watching Michael Jordan. If you ever seen Michael Jordan in a locker room situation, he always wanted to make sure that he was dressed first. It was never, you don't see him with no shirt on or just in his uniform. He wanted to make sure that the polish was there, that he had his full suit on. And then when he was dressed, then he would talk to you all day. Would have no problem talking to everyone in the press, and always gave good answers. Kobe, the same way in many respects to the press, where he wanted to make sure that when he was ready to talk, he would talk. And I think he learned a lot from Michael in that regard. This is why when he was growing up, and you saw him when he first came on the scene as the youngest player ever to play in the NBA, he would walk and talk like Michael Jordan. The first thing that you saw when he was talking was like, wow, that sounds like either Jerry Stackhouse or Michael Jordan. and they all sound the same. Kobe also sounded like Michael, walked like Michael, wanted to play like Michael, wanted to be able to win a slam dunk competition, wanted to do all the things possible to reach Michael Jordan's acclaim as a player. And so when you think about Kobe's career and you think about everything that he's done, it starts with him. And you think about this, Kobe Bryant as a player saw so many terrific athletes that played in the NBA, like Magic Johnson at the time, seeing Larry Bird, seeing so many in that era. But Michael was the attachment. That was the number one thing he looked at. Now, as I mentioned, I talked to him twice. Once, as I mentioned, the United Center. The other time was right here on ESPN 1000. There was a show named Salisbury and Rosenblum at one point here at our station under the auspices of Jeff Schwartz. And I was filling in for Rosenblum with Salisbury, and we had Kobe Bryant on. Kobe Bryant was doing a lot of media during the time after his situation in Colorado with sexual assault. And so he was doing a lot of trying to recoup and trying to have his image back in a lot of ways. So he did a lot of media. And so I recall during that interview, I asked him, I said, was there ever a time in your career that you thought about playing with someone else? And he mentioned that in the off season that we spoke, he was with his family in Chicago, in the suburbs, looking for homes, looking for places for his kids for school, because there was a big disconnect between the Buss family and Kobe Bryant, and Kobe wanted out of Los Angeles. And it was a head-scratcher because you never thought that Kobe would want to leave Los Angeles. But because of his penchant of wanting to be like Michael Jordan, or as close to Michael Jordan as possible, playing in his city, playing at the United Center in his building, it didn't matter to Kobe Bryant. Didn't matter. For some, that would be like really scary, like to be able to go into someone else's building, someone who's already built the building, someone who has so many great moments, and then another great player goes in there. You know they'll always be second best. Kobe didn't care about that. He cared about winning championships, whether it was with the Lakers, the Bulls, or someplace else. Of course, that deal never occurred because there was a trade that was on the table, and the Lakers and Bulls could not work out that deal. But that would have been something. That would have been interesting to look at the career of Kobe Bryant as a Chicago Bull after his time with the Lakers. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We keep the lines open here between now and 10 because I just want to know, the first time you saw Kobe Bryant as a player, anything that stands out to you about his career, we'll talk to you about it. And throughout our show, this will not be 3 hours necessarily on Kobe because we have to talk about the Super Bowl. It's going to take place on Sunday, where we're going to lay our bets for that. We have a couple of special guests as well, so a lot of this will be on Kobe, but we're going to talk some Super Bowl as well, all part of the mix here on Under the Hood. Dinko is in Lincolnwood on ESPN 1000. Hello, Dink.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
No, I just want to preface this by saying I'm 31 years old, and so I saw Mike 96, 97, 98, and so it was an easy transition for me, especially with Phil Jackson going to the Lakers, to become a Kobe Bryant fan. And I have three Kobe Bryant jerseys in my closet. And, I mean, I loved Kobe. Like, I followed him religiously. I would race home from high school and college to get to my cousin's house in Lincolnwood because he had league pass. And this is before all the illegal streams. And we would stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning because these were West Coast games to watch Kobe drop 60, 48, 36, triple-double, whatever it was. Because he was just... you were glued to him because he was elegant and he could make all the shots and he could make all the dunks. And he was so much fun to watch, and I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. It's just a bad nightmare because this is my Michael. And I mean, he was an icon. He was handsome. He was articulate. He was intelligent, and he was a professional. And he, for a certain amount of years, he was the best at his sport. And, you know, he's just an icon to the game, and we're going to really miss him.
Absolutely. Very well said, Dinko, and I appreciate your telephone call. We have to understand when we have young people that come into the barbershop and they say the greatest player in the NBA's history is LeBron James. Well, I'll never shout that kid down. I'll never shout that kid down on social media because you have to understand generationally how the NBA works, how sports works in general. Dinko says that Kobe was his Michael Jordan. You completely understand it, right? Because we're talking about the hip-hop era, and we're talking about a Laker team that was exciting to watch. Because after the Showtime Lakers, you didn't think you'd see anything as exciting as watching Kareem and Magic and Byron Scott and AC Green and Pat Riley and the glitz and the glamour and the pyro and ballyhoo and the pomp and circumstances of the Lakers during that time. It was Lakers and Celtics back and forth, and those two teams built the league. Actually, the league is really built on the Lakers and Celtics when you think about it. The entire league is built on those two teams. But the Lakers had a big part of that, especially in the Showtime 80s era. So you didn't think you'd ever see anything like that, right? Until you see Kobe Bryant come onto the scene at 17, 18 years of age. Until you see Shaquille O'Neal come from Orlando and then goes to Los Angeles and that 1-2 punch and watching that team get up and down the floor and Derek Fisher and all these other terrific players and Big Shot Bob and all these great players that the Lakers had. And that run should have lasted longer, But while we were able to see it, it was great because we saw Kobe Bryant not only win with Shaq, but also win without Shaq. And it just shows you that Dinko is a great example of it. He's a person that watches the NBA and respected Michael, but understood that Kobe was the guy. You're just up late at night watching Kobe Bryant on the West Coast feed because you know he's going to see something special. And you know that because he wanted to be similar or just like Michael Jordan, that Kobe was going to play with a ruthless aggression. That's all what it comes down to. And I still think, what if, right? The two biggest words in entertainment. What if Kobe Bryant decided to go to play with the Bulls? Actually, it's kind of cool that he didn't, because he was with one team, the Lakers, and he will always be known as a great Los Angeles Laker. All right, we're getting ready for SportsCenter, and when we return, we'll be able to talk more about the life and times of Kobe Bryant. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Some thoughts on Kobe Bryant, and still to come, we'll hear from Porter Moser, Loyola coach, but first, here's SportsCenter.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
In the hands of Kobe. We'll see if he gets 50 here. Bryant going to the basket. Kobe, yes. Bryant!
There it is!
A 50-point game in his farewell. It's a 6-point game, so the Lakers are in this one down the stretch. And there it is, the first player to end his career with a 50-point game. Will Kobe give them one last gamer? Bryant on the move with the jumper.
He got it! My!
58 points! And the Lakers lead!
Ah, Mike Tirico for the classic games for Kobe Bryant, who perished in a helicopter accident with his daughter and seven others yesterday. We're talking about it right here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. The one thing about me as a sports fan is that I will never turn a blind eye to greatness. That's not necessarily bandwagon jumping. I mean, I'm from Chicago, and I understand that I have a love for a number of our teams here in the city. But I will never turn a blind eye to greatness just because a great player plays in a different uniform. I just think that's silly. For those that rooted against the Lakers, it's one thing. Hey, you're a fan of a certain team and you root against the Lakers, that's fine. But you cannot root against greatness when it's on your television. As much as many of us love Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan was not popular in every market in the NBA. There's a reason why, is because he drummed them. Those Bulls teams drummed a lot of those really good to great teams across the country on a regular basis during their six titles in 8 years. And so when you see Kobe Bryant, when he came to town, or when I saw him on the package or watched him on a primetime game, I was watching because I knew I was watching greatness. Those Laker teams were better off because of him. Shaq may or may not have done it by himself. I know that he was a key to that, but Kobe and Shaq as a 1-2 punch were great to watch. I can admire greatness even though they may not be my favorite team. Didn't have to be. If it's on your television, if it's great, you admire greatness. There's no way that I'm going to ignore that. You know what really got me, and I want to hear your thoughts, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You know what got me is listening to Hubie Brown, the NBA Sunday game of the week yesterday, as Hubie Brown, who's been in the game for six decades or more around the game of basketball, was calling the NBA Sunday night game with Mark Jones. When he said this, that really captured me.
Well, today is the saddest day in my basketball career. There's no doubt about it. And we're talking about a physical force as a teenager that came into this league with a passion for the game, seldom seen. He never took a backseat to anyone in work ethic. And then the fact that when you talk about two, name the greatest two-way players in the history of this game, he's right at the top of the list.
Yeah, that was the NBA Sunday night game yesterday with New Orleans and Boston. And hearing Hubie say that, just that's just it breaks your heart, the story. But then you have someone who's seen it all, right? He saw Clemente. He saw Thurman Munson. He saw some of the tragedies in sports. And then for him to be mentioned in that, that's just that says a lot for someone who's been around the game for so long. Jerry West, the logo, concurs about how sad the day was yesterday.
20 years career, one of the worst days of my life. The only thing I can compare it to is I had a brother killed in Korea. And I'm just devastated by this news. And to watch him transform his life and career from this iconic player to have an enormous career in the media business, and to see him with his young kids, his young daughters, the joy that was in their eyes looking at their father, who obviously they loved, to the attention he paid to them, to his getting involved in promoting women's basketball. This was a man for all seasons.
Jerry West, the great Jerry West, talking about Kobe Bryant. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app, any memories of Kobe Bryant, see him as a player, first time you saw him in person? What are your memories? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Melrose Park, here's Mike on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Hoodie?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say it kind of touches on what you were just saying. You know, growing up, I'm a year younger than Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, you know, I'm a big Bulls fan. You know, I get to see Mike, Scotty, all that. And, you know, I see this kid come into the league, and, you know, he's cocky, he's arrogant, and you're just like, you know, who does this kid think he is? You know, so, you know, getting into friendly arguments with my buddies and stuff, you know, I had one friend who was a big Laker fan, and, you know, he used to say, you know, do you even watch Kobe other than when he's, you know, when he's playing the Bulls, you know? And I'm like, no, I don't want to see it, you know? And he's like, do yourself a favor and go and look at watch this kid play. So the more I used to, you know, I watched him, you know, and I grew to love his game, like his fierce competitiveness. He was just great at what he did. Like, he's an icon, and I'm glad that, you know, I was woken up by a buddy of mine, and you know, he said, hey, watch this kid. You're gonna, you know, it's greatness what I got to witness on TV and stuff. You know, and yesterday, you know, when I found out, I was eating lunch with my wife and my kids, and I told my wife, my friend texted me, and I'm like, this is a joke. So I called another buddy who, you know, works in sports media, and I said, hey, you know, is this true? And he's like, it's not confirmed, but, you know, those are the reports. It hit me hard. And I was telling my wife, and my daughter's like, Daddy, you know, who died? And I said, well, they said Kobe Bryant. And I'm thinking she doesn't know. And she's like, oh, the basketball player? Like, how did my 7-year-old know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than from me watching, but she pays attention. You know, that's how captivating he was. He caught, like, a 7-year-old, and also, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man. Like, it's just, he reached everyone, and he's going to be deeply missed. You know, what he did after basketball was even amazing, too. Like, I just, you know, I followed him on Twitter and everything, and I was just like, the man is just, he was just great.
I appreciate you checking in, Mike. And I want you to think about your 7-year-old, because this relates to the next generation. There are some that saw Kobe toward the end, injury-ridden career toward the end, missed a lot of games. But Kobe and how big he is as an iconic figure, as a ball player, still remains. This is why you have kids that are 9, 10, 11 years old that are Michael Jordan fans. They didn't see him at the end of the Wizards. They didn't see the championships. But because of the commercials, because of his brand, there are kids now that still live through Michael Jordan. And, you know, of course, go to YouTube and watch some of his great highlights, sure. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. There are some kids that are 17, 18, 19, those that are playing college now that didn't really see Kobe from the beginning. maybe toward the middle, maybe three quarters of when his season was, his career was over, but yet they know the intensity. They know the brand. And so no matter what, yeah, I saw his entire career and I read about him and ESPN, the magazine and Slam magazine and all that, but it just shows you, how powerful, social media is, how powerful video is for you to be able to enjoy forever greatness like Kobe Bryant. So doesn't matter if you are a baby boomer or a Gen Xer. If you saw him, then you knew that you're watching greatness. As I mentioned before, it doesn't matter if I'm a Laker fan or not, and I'm not, but I understand greatness when I see it. And there's just no way that I could turn away from watching someone at the top of their game. There's no way I could do that. There's not enough meatball in me to be able to look at him. Like, oh, he doesn't play for my team, so who cares? You know who cares? Those that feel badly for his family. Those that feel badly that had a connection with Kobe Bryant. Anytime that you have arguably the best Laker in the history of the game, Magic Johnson, say, we lost the best Laker. When Magic says that Kobe was the best Laker, he's not doing it because he passed away, because Magic said that while Kobe was living. He believed that Kobe Bryant was the greatest Laker. And, of course, if we brought Kendall Gill on the show, Kendall would say it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or someone would say it's Jerry West, or someone would say it's someone else. But you know what? Everybody's right. All those players are great. But when you have Magic Johnson, one of the players that turned the league around, the NBA was about smoke-filled armories, drug use, the tape delay finals on at 10:30 after the news wasn't even live. The Larry O'Brien era was marred with a lot of issues. David Stern, who passed away also this month, was able to turn things around. Magic was part of that. And Magic was able to bring more people to the television and more people to magazines to read about the league. When Magic Johnson did all that and says that Kobe Bryant still is the greatest Laker and still his favorite player, that says a lot.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at TweetJHood.
LeBron, jerseys dream of retirement.
Your jerseys dream now?
A special time when my jerseys can look back and reflect on all they've accomplished in their careers as my jerseys.
Kobe, I got to go.
A time for my jerseys to relax and pursue other interests, hobbies, handicrafts, painting, woodworking, establishing a multinational entertainment conglomerate with designs on dominating the field of animation, music, and cinema.
Your jerseys is doing all of that.
Well, 8 is more into decoupage, but 24 is quite ambitious. Quite ambitious.
I guess I'm walking to Milwaukee.
He was great in number 8 and number 24. Kobe Bryant passing away yesterday. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Keep the lines open if you're not interested in Bad Bulls basketball. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. You could also hit me up on Instagram. IGJHood. Let us go back to the phone lines and talk to you. We say hello to Jay and Elgin as we talk about Kobe Bryant and his career here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jay.
Mr. Jay Hood, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Great show as always. Just here remembering and obviously a little saddened stuff by the news, Kobe Bryant passing yesterday. And I'm 40, you know, about to be 44 years old, so I was able to see the greatness of Michael Jeffrey Jordan in person, and it was kind of sandwiched in the whole 90s of being the Jordan decade, between the end of the Lakers Showtime and then the beginning of Shaq and Kobe. So I can never say I always respected his game. He was an incredible athlete to watch, best player in my opinion since Michael Jordan. But I just couldn't come to terms with accepting that all the next, they were the first team to win the three-peat after the Bulls did theirs in 98. I just couldn't, you know, I was kind of a jealousy, kind of a hater, if you will, to see this, you know, young man and everything and take over. And same thing, his mannerisms and his way of speaking was very Jordan-esque and the fadeaway and everything. But I always respected what he was able to bring to basketball. I did, you know, was happy to say that I saw him mature in front of our eyes and then take the reins as one of the greatest of all time. So, it's just one of those things that I feel very fortunate to being able to watch him, and just almost like, you know, back in the day and everything, being able to say that you were able to see the, you know, some of the best players in your generation and everything, from seeing Jordan and Kobe, and then, you know, other athletes and stuff that you're able to watch. And kind of like you're mentioning about the hip-hop industry. I mean, I grew up in the 90s, as I mentioned. To me, there's no better generation for hip-hop than the 90s. And then you got these young guys coming out and trying to say that this so-and-so person is better than what used to be. But, yeah, just, you know, very, very sad for his family and for the basketball world. But as I mentioned, you know, great to say that, hey, I saw, you know, in succession, I saw the greatest of all time in MJ, and then I saw, you know, the young man and everything who followed in his footsteps and every which way. And, you know, just a sad day overall. I mean, it's, you know, trying to take it all in still.
Jay, I'm glad you spent some time with us talking about Kobe. I appreciate your telephone call. We come to find out from SportsCenter that the NBA has postponed the Lakers-Clippers game that was scheduled for Tuesday. And one of the sound bites that we saw yesterday was just a tearful Doc Rivers, Chicago's own Doc Rivers, the coach for the Clippers, and just it was just all over him, just the dread, the emotion, the sadness of the loss of Kobe Bryant yesterday.
I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that that very few athletes can ever have, you know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans, you know. It's funny, I was getting to know him more since he retired, you know. Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, we have to go play. I mean, the news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family. And, there's just so many people he touched, you know. And, you know, it's looking at my young players and seeing how emotional they are. They didn't even know him, you know. And it just tells you how far his reach was. So, and this is just shocking news for all of us. And, sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play.
Doc Rivers, the head coach for the Los Angeles Clippers. You can understand when the Lakers and Clippers play in the same building. Of course, you're going to run into the Lakers. You're going to run into Kobe Bryant. And I want to make sure it's clear that Kobe Bryant, after his playing days, was still hanging around the Lakers organization, still around the Staples Center with his daughter, Gigi, who was destined to be a college basketball star, as long as Kobe had something to do with it, and playing in the WNBA. The stories continue to come out about how Kobe was always going to basketball camps with Gigi and some of his other kids, and just being around influential people, which is very important for him. You think about life after basketball for someone great. Sometimes those great players, they go into real estate or spend time on the golf course or do fundraisers or always doing speaking engagements, things like that. Well, for Kobe Bryant, post-career, he was actually a colleague at ESPN because he was doing the details show and he was breaking it down the way he wanted to, breaking down games. And also just being around his Mamba camp and teaching young players how to play the game properly from his standpoint and being around his kids. So it was a seamless transition from retirement to death that he was doing the things that he wanted to do in life. There's some that can't figure out what to do once you are at such a high and you play in front of so many people for so many years, win gold medals, win championships. You've tried to figure out what's next, right? Well, it seems seamless for Kobe Bryant because when Kobe was done with the game, he was still around the game in one way, shape, or form. So it's we'll have more on Kobe. We'll hear from Jim Boeheim, Syracuse coach, on Kobe coming up next. Sports Center in 2 minutes.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Hi, everybody.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.